new series, Achrei Mos Kedoshim to go. Five Divrei Torah on the Parsha related to, we're going to have three from Achrei Mos, two from Kedoshim, and like always, one on the back burner for if we have extra time. Let's begin. Achrei Mos Kedoshim to go. I'm happy to share these Mar Makomos with you afterwards. So the first comes from the Tiferes Shlomo and the Baal Shem Tov. Tiferes Shlomo was a Radomsker Rav. Rabbi Yudin is a descendant of Radomsker Hasidim from his mother's side. I remember him talking about this at his mother's funeral, which I think was 10 years ago. So the Pasuk tells us, Achrei Mos Kedoshim, another double Parsha, Tazria Mitzora, Achrei Mos Kedoshim, I think Bahar Bechokosai is also double Parsha. It's Vayikris flying by. It's flying by. Achrei Mos, the main discussion, Achrei Mos talks about the Avoda and Yom Kippurim. And Kedoshim is the fan favorite. So many different interpersonal, being Adam Lachavero mitzvos that we find in Kedoshim. But both Achrei Mos and Kedoshim end the same way, with the mitzvos associated with the arayos, the forbidden relationships, the illicit relationships that a Jewish person cannot have. And there's so much to talk about over there. It's laid on Yom Kippur as well in Achrei Mos. And let's discuss very important insights from the Avodas Yom Kippurim, which I think we can relate to in the situation that we're in right now, but in our lives in general. So the says the Torah. So most famously, the Kohen Gadol, who is the Nan. The scene, he is the actor, the main character in the entire story of Yom Kippur. And at the pinnacle moment of Yom Kippur is when he takes the two Seirim and he determines which one goes to Lashem, which one becomes a Korban, and which one goes to Azazel, which one gets thrown off the mountain of Azazel, traveled, taken into the Midbar with the Ish Iti. So says the Torah in this context in Perek Tezayin Pasuke, Me'es Adas B'nei Yisrael Yikach Shnei Se'irin. So what happens? This needs to, who has to pay for this korban? The korban has to be paid from Me'es Adas B'nei Yisrael, from the pocket, from the bank, from the account of all the Jewish people. The Kohen Gadol should take and acquire Shnei Se'ireizim L'chatas V'ay L'chad L'olah. And the other aisle that he brings, the ram, also has to be brought from the Adas B'nei Yisrael. So Rashi writes on the spot, Pirush Rashi, Sheyem Mishel Tzibur, that this money should come from the Tzibur money. The Tiferes Shlomo asks the obvious question. This is very, Rashi did not need to tell us this, that the Tzibur has to pay for this korban, because in fact, all of the korbanos and everything that the Kohen Gadol does over Yom Kippur has to be bought and purchased from Tzibur money, from communal funds, except for one. Only the korban that the Kohen Gadol brings on his own personal behalf, on the behalf of himself and his family, that's purchased with his own money. But everything else is Mishel Tzibur. So what is Rashi adding over here to teach us? What is Rashi teaching us by telling us that this korban or these korbanas have to be Mishel Tzibur, Me'adas B'nei Yisrael? So he says, he quotes one of the older Rebbes, who says something really beautiful. Quoting the Tefillah on Yom Kippur. You know, when we bow down three times, right? We take out the towels. You know, everyone has their own things that they use, the talis bag, they use the paper towels, and you bend down, you prostrate before Kadosh Baruch Hu, you say, Baruch Shem Kvod Malchusol Olam Ve'ed. So in that Tefillah, we say, Va'kohanim Va'am. We say the Kohanim, then Va'am. The Kohanim and the Am and the nation are all standing in the Azara, in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, watching the Kohen Gadol. So what is the point of that? What are they doing there? Is this just like passive participation? What are they doing over there? So says the Rebbe something beautiful. Sha'am amdu ba'azarato bitfila bitachanun avor Kohen Gadol. They were davening with the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol got his strength from the Tzibur. The Kohen Gadol could not do this on his own. To work the entire day, literally, on behalf of the Tzibur, on his feet, fasting, He didn't sleep the night before. They had to keep him awake the entire night. He couldn't do this on his own. He only was able to accomplish everything that he was able to do because it was made Ace Adas B'nai Israel. He got his koach from being part of the community. And because they were there cheering him on, right, and davening for him, he was able to continue on and perform this such important avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. Ki'ilu, right, there's a big discussion today whether sports will open up without fans, right? Will that ever happen? So this is a very great question, right? And there might be very important healthy reasons why it might be good for help sports to continue. It might give people a good break from what is going on in life. It might be good for the show, the country, obviously in a safe manner. But there's one thing that's clearly missing. I think I saw this quote from one of the players that how can we play without the fans? The fans give us so much. We're playing for them, right? But I think in Judaism, it's not just we're playing for them, but we can't do it without them. And there's a story quoted here. This is in a sefer called Yagdil Torah from the Baal Shem Tov. Baal Shem Tov famously, I don't think they had a minyan. When he would travel with all of his chassidim, his small group of people, they would travel from town to town. And they would daven together. And famously, the Baal Shem Tov would daven, and he would daven, and it would take a very, very long time. And they would wait for him. And they would wait, and they would wait, and they would wait until he would finish. And then they would continue on in their tefillos. One day, the Talmidim got hungry. So they saw the Baal Shem Tov daven. They davened a little bit quicker. And when the Baal Shem Tov began Shmoneh Esrei, they all left. They figured they can catch a 20-minute, you know, breakfast, come back, put their tefillin back on, and the Baal Shem Tov, A, wouldn't notice, and B, he would just still be davening, so what were they to lose? They came back, and they were shocked. The Baal Shem Tov was putting away his tefillin, and davening was over. And he said, hello, where were you guys? I daven without you. They said, Rebbe, what do you mean? You daven without us. You daven every single day. It takes you a half hour to daven Shmoneh Esrei. What's going on here? All of a sudden now you can't, you know, what tricks are you playing on us? So he said, you don't understand. So what do we don't understand? He said, let me tell you a story. So the best stories are a story than a story. He said, you know, all the, okay, we still have some Floridians on the line. So he said, you know, we know that all the birds fly down south for the winter. They go to warmer climates in the winter. And he said, one time there was a king who was walking in his kingdom, and he saw a beautiful, colorful bird. It must have been a peacock, who knows what. A very colorful bird, beautiful bird, who was very, very high up in the trees. So he turned to his people, his constituents, and he said to them, I'd like you guys to go get this bird for me. I want you to catch it. I want it to be in the Royal Zoo. So they said, this is before Werner ladders were created. There's no ladders around. How are we going to get? Well, I think very simply, each one of you will climb one on top of the other and you'll be able to get the bird. Just simple. There's 10 of you. You know, each of you is about four or five, you know, five, at least 5 feet, maybe 6 feet. You have 50 feet, you'll be able to catch the bird in no time. They said, okay, anything for you, O Master, O King. They started climbing up, and each one would jump on top of the other. They must have been very, very strong. And as this was happening, and it took quite some time, the ones on the bottom were getting weak and started moving around. And if they start moving around, we know. If the bottom ones move around, then the top ones can't be there. And all of a sudden, everybody just toppled over. So the Baal Shem Tov said, that's the way it is in davening too. When we daven as a tzibur, it's not just me by myself. It's not, I don't get my kedusha and my focus and my kavana and my connection to God because of me alone. Nuh-uh, that's not how it works. It's with the koach of everybody here in the tzibur. We do this all together. And I'm only able to reach that rung very high up and reach those olamos ha'elyonim when we daven together. And when you guys left, there was no one there to carry me all the way up to the top of the tree. You weren't there. So I wasn't able to reach that rung, and I made my davening, my tefillah finished early. And that's what they say, the meaning of the pasuk is me'es adas b'nei Yisrael yikach shnei sirim. That the Kohen Gadol only reached these levels, these high lofty levels of elevating himself to go into the Kodesh Kedoshim and connecting to Kodesh Baruch Hu in a way that we couldn't do the rest of the year, only because of Adas B'nei Yisrael, only because of the Koach of the Tzibor connecting himself because of everybody else. And such a powerful notion as we are missing and lacking in our Tefillah B'Tzibor today, and how the best we can do is by connecting through Zoom, right? Somebody said they're Zooming through life. But connecting through Zoom and learning together, but we're missing that element of the Koach HaTzibor and how powerful that is in our lives, and it's something that I'm never going to take for granted ever again. I think most of us can say this, will say the same, because we've never lived our lives for this long without the Tzibor physically there together. That is the first thought from the Radomski Rebbe and the Baal Shem Tov, beautiful story from the Baal Shem Tov. Let's continue on. This is from Halakha Kvalibov of Avram Shor. Avram Shor was the son, is the son. He's alive and should be well. I was zochet to go to many of his Friday Parsha Shiurim. He opened up, he gave a new Parsha Shiur on Fridays just for YU guys who would drive in from the Heights. I used to go almost every single Friday. He lives near my in-laws. And he says something very, very beautiful. He quotes the Degel Machane Ephraim. The Degel Machane Ephraim was one of the, we're in the Hasidic side today. That's where I'm feeling it today. So the Degel Machane Ephraim is one of the students of the Baal Shem Tov, first generation student of Baal Shem Tov. And he quotes a pasuk in the Avodah of Yom Kippur. V'chol Adam lo yeb o'am o'ed b'vo'o el ha'kodesh l'chaper b'kodesh. So the Torah instructs us, in the beginning, this is in the beginning of the Parsha, v'chol Adam, every single person, literally, cannot be in Ohel Moed, Mivola Kodesh Lachaper Kodesh. When the Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh Kedashim, he has to be there alone. So the Degel Machane Ephraim says this is a Hora'ah. This is the teaching about how we should approach Tefillah. And I thought, I saw this piece today. I actually saw it earlier this morning. And I thought it was very instructive about davening alone in our homes. And he said, this is the Hora'ah al Avodas Adam Eis Omdo B'Tfilah, about how we approach our davening ourselves. He says a person should daven without any distractions around. It should be literally like they're in the Kodesh HaKadoshim with nothing, literally nothing surround them. She'tov she'spal b'makom she'ein b'nei Adam. It's better to daven without anybody around. Ganeshim ha'nitzani imo. Very often if other people are around, and I'll add if your cell phone or any other devices are around you, is going to cause distraction. It should be like you're literally in the Kodesh HaKodashim, and to remove as many obstacles as there are away from us when we approach our davening. Right? He says when you're davening in the Tzibor, even then, you're davening alone, both in the Tzibor, the sitter should be open in front of you, and our focus should completely be on the Tzibor.
Can I ask you a question, Rabbi?
Yeah, sure.
What about davening outside?
Davening outside. So there are certain poskim that were against davening outside. They felt you should daven with a roof. But I think, you know, if one finds, and some places might not be so clean to daven outside, if one finds it inspiring to daven outside, then it's a nice thing to do. Then it could be something very, very inspiring to do. The Kotel is outdoors. Some were against it, some were not against it. Some feel you should daven only in the inside part. But if one finds it inspiring, sometimes we daven, us and the kids, we daven Kabbalah Shabbos outside. Sometimes we find it's like we're going outside to greet the Shabbos queen. So we sometimes go back inside for Maariv. It's been pretty cold. We haven't had you can't stay outside too long. The weather hasn't been nice enough up here in up north in New Jersey to say that. But for one or two davenings to go outside and to feel it, because it's going to be inspiring, for sure you should do that. Yeah. And then he quotes Nefesh HaChaim. The Nefesh HaChaim says, this is not just true. There's not just a Kodesh HaKadoshim in the world that exists where there is, but there's a Kodesh HaKadoshim, an inner sanctum inside each one of our hearts. Shepir Nefesh HaChaim, Shekavano Hishish Makum Belev HaAdam. There's a place inside our own heart, in our neshama, through Kodesh HaKadoshim, that is our Kodesh HaKadoshim. That is our place, our sanctum, where we can't let anything penetrate. Only Kedusha goes into that place. And he writes, Eish Shemon Esrei, Adam Nichnas Olam HaEtzilos Ke'edu Misaprim HaKadosh. So Misfar HaKadoshim. He says that when we daven, we go to this level, this high, lofty level, and that's the, you know, Leif Tahor Bari Lekim Ruach. We have a Ruach HaLekim in our hearts, and we have to build that up and develop that. And it's a challenge within our own, davening within our own homes. And he suggests, right? This is just a few suggestions. One is to daven without distractions around. Secondly, it's important, he says, to have a kviyas makom, to try to daven. So many of us have a makom kavua in the shul, but it's important to have a makom kavua in our homes, to try to daven consistently in the same place. It gives a kedusha to that makom itself. So that is from the Degel Machaneh Ephraim. We go on here to a piece. Okay, we went from Chassidus to the Litvak. The Rav, Rabbi Salvechik, says something really beautiful and very, very timely and important. Right now, all of us are home practicing social distancing. Many of us are not even leaving our homes even to get our medications or to buy our groceries. We are literally home all day. And it's important to note that that all is an emanation and a fulfillment of a pasuk in our parsha. It's a pasuk of... Ooh, okay, Noah has class now too. Noah just likes to say hello to everybody. Okay. Baruch Hashem. So the Torah says the following. You should follow my laws, my statutes, and follow them in all your ways as you go throughout life. And guard these chukim and mishpatim. Asher yaseh osam hadam. That which man does, v'chai bahem, and you shall live with them. Ani Hashem, I am God. What does it mean, live with the mitzvos? We learn from here a very important value. Not just a value, but a value that if we're ranking mitzvos, this is number 4. And override, it's a postscript for all of Torah and all of mitzvot. It describes really what the Torah wants from us. V'chai bahem, says Rabbi Salvechik, we learn from here that the saving of a life overrides the commandments of the entire Torah. Live by them, says Chazal, v'chai bahem, v'lo shiyamas bahem. We desecrate Shabbos, chalel of Shabbos achas. We desecrate one Shabbos in order to live for many other Shabbatot. This is not just true when it comes to Shabbos, when it comes to Kashrus, and any other mitzvah, including Minyan, Kaddish, Kedusha, Kriyas HaTorah, Halal on Pesach, etc., etc. This is the most important. And this is the language of the Rav. It's so beautiful. This law, he says, is the watchword of Judaism. The teachings of the Torah do not oppose the laws of life and reality, for they were they to clash with this world, were they to negate the value of concrete, physiological, biological existence, then they would not contain. They contain not mercy, loving kindness, and peace, but vengeance and wrath. Meaning this teaches us the value that the Torah gives to life above all. Even if there is a doubtful possibility, a suffix, that a person's life is in danger, one renders a lenient decision. And as long as one is able to discover some possible danger to life, one may use that doubt to render a lenient decision, meaning go to the hospital on Shabbos, meaning check your oxygen levels on Shabbos, temperature, etc., etc. This is such an important value, right? And that's by us being home. It's maybe the only time in our lives where we could say, I am being home, I'm staying home, and I am saving lives. I am fulfilling the mitzvah in the Torah of V'chai Behem. Rabbi Meir Twersky, who's a Rosh Yeshiva at Yeshiva University, who is a grandson of Rabbi Salvechik, penned a very important article at the beginning of this week where he writes, I didn't put this part in it, I'm happy to share it with you. He says that many of our communities did not take the doctors seriously enough. And he writes that it is important for us as a community, as individuals, to publicly declare and announce that we made a mistake, and that if we would have stayed home, if we would have established these social distancing rules a little bit earlier, more lives would have been saved. He quotes a story from his tradition, from his family, that when Chaim Soloveitchik's oldest grandson was an infant, that is the Rav, right, who we just quoted, he became very ill, and they called a doctor to come in and examine him on Shabbos. And Rav Chaim asked the doctor if he needed more light. Back then, light wasn't flipping on a switch, but it was turning on another candle, adding another wick, and that was an Isser D'oraisa. The doctor said, like he didn't give yes or no. So what should he do? Immediately, Rav Chaim instructed the family member who was standing closest to the fire to add more light to the fire. The family member said, the doctor didn't say he needs it. He just said, like as if I'm not sure, and did not immediately comply with Rav Chaim's directive. Rav Chaim excoriated this grandson or son, and he said, you're an apikores, you're an amaores, you're an ignoramus, you're a heretic, right? Rav Simcha Zalman Rigger, one of the Rabbanim, was there, and he hastened to follow his directive. An apikores is a strong language. And he says, because if one is undermining the mitzvah of v'chai behem, you're undermining the entire Torah. How powerful and such a strong statement that was. I urge you, I will probably send this article out with the weekly email tomorrow to read this article for Rabbi Tversky. It's very strongly worded and very appropriately worded. And important to know, this is from our parsha here, this Shabbos.
Rabbi, you should send it to Williamsburg, to all those clowns.
Okay. Thank you, Milty. We have to do
You're
what
right
we
on,
need
Milty.
To do. Okay, but it's we're not talking about de Blasio and whatever, you know, mistakes he made in his Twitter feed. But we have to do what is right. We have to make sure that we are above and beyond suspicion. People are looking out for us and looking at us. Right or wrong, we have to know that that is the reality on the ground. It always has been the reality. And we have to be extra careful. We have to be extra careful when we go out, even in the appropriate ways, we have to be careful. Let's continue on. Continue on with the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. Or HaChaim, I'm skipping. There's so much to say about V'hath L'Recha Kamocha, and so much to say about Kadoshim to you. What does it mean to become holy and to become Kadosh? That you're going to see many divrei Torah. I'm trying to look at things that are a little bit out of the box over here. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh writes on the pasuk by Orla. What is Orla? Orla is if you plant a tree in Eretz Yisrael or in America. It's a big discussion. What is Orla's chutz laaretz? What is the status? Is that deraisa? Is that derabanan? Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. But either way, if you plant a tree here, chutz laaretz, or in Eretz Yisrael, for the first 3 years that the fruit grow, you cannot benefit. There's an iser hana'a. You cannot benefit from the tree, from the fruit of the tree. In the fourth year, we take those fruits, and then we bring them to the base of Mikdash. It's called Netar Revai.
Rabbi?
Yes.
For the first 3 years that is bearing fruit, not the first 3 years that it's planted, because it takes
Correct.
A while.
Correct. Yeah, it takes a while for it to bear fruit. Correct. The first 3 years that it's bearing fruit, we cannot use its fruits. We cannot benefit from the fruits. Yeah. So the Or HaChaim HaKadosh says, where did we learn this from? Where did this mitzvah emanate from? And this is something that we, you know, ultimately we do the mitzvah because Hashem commands us to do the mitzvah. But where does this come from? He says, the Or HaChaim HaKadosh says, this mitzvah was created because of Adam and Chava. He says, quoting the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that Adam and Chava were giving one mitzvah. The one mitzvah was, you cannot eat from the Eitz Hadas Tova Ra. And what did they do? Within 1 hour of being alive, right before Shabbos, actually, right before Shabbos started on that Friday, they ate from the Eitz Hadas. And he says, what do you see there? They ate from the Eitz Hadas. What was their failure? It was a failure in patience. They couldn't wait. They couldn't wait for Shabbos to start. They couldn't wait. They were just too excited, impatient, impetuous. And they violated the one law that they were given. Says the Or HaChaim that because of that, we are given the mitzvah of Orla. The mitzvah of Orla. We live in a time today where we love to get things so fast, so quick, right? My daughter's Amazon usually comes in 1 to 2 days. Now it's like 7 days. It's crazy. My kids are like, what? It's not coming tomorrow? I can't believe it, right? Walmart could take 2 weeks to ship something. Obviously, many of us, you know, we're not going to stores. So patience is something, is a virtue, as they say, but it's something so valuable. It's so valuable. The Or Chaim says that was the first failure in history, was due to a lack of patience. And we're given a mitzvah of Orla to rectify that mitzvah. Not for 1 hour now, but for 3 long years. We say in the first Mishnah of Pirkei Avos, Hevem Usuna Medin, when it comes to judgment, when it comes to judges, they have to be patient in their adjudication. That's not just in their literal adjudication, but that refers to all of us also. When we are living our lives, we should be patient, have a Mesuna Medin, patient in our lives. Ah, it's great to see. I can't see everybody on the screen. But great to see Leo Bowski. Welcome, Shalom Aleichem. Okay, we haven't seen you. Welcome. Okay, hope all is doing well. Last idea comes from the Emes Liakov. From the Emes Liakov of Yaakov Kamenetsky. Of Yaakov Kamenetsky has an amazing parish on Chumash. It's called the Emes Liakov. And he talks about the mitzvah of Pigul. What is Pigul? Pigul is if a Kohen is makriv a korban, and the korban, and he has the wrong intention in mind, that the korban, is not, he intended it to be eaten beyond the time when the korban was supposed to be eaten. So what happens, right? That's all in the Kohen's head. And he shechted the korban, and he was makriv the korban with that in mind. What happens? Somebody eats this korban. The punishment is karis. That's a strong punishment. That's a strong punishment, a strong consequence for something that occurred in somebody's machshava. How can that be? How can that be? Why would that be? So Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky says, you have to add one more halacha here. That this halacha only kicks off. You can only get pigol if the Kohen did everything right to the korban, except for this wrong machshava, except for this wrong thought. Everything was correct, except for this one thing. If one other thing was off in this korban, then you wouldn't get to pigol. So what does that show you? That why does this happen? I want to get the language here. It's all about the potential of this korban. The potential of this was so great, and sometimes when the potential of something is so great, then there is potential for the opposite to happen. When there's potential for greatness, there's also potential for disaster at the same time. It's only when you have this high level of Kedusha that you could achieve, bring a korban to the base of Mikdash, could there be this potential for kares on the flip side, even if one small thing changes. And this is why he explains, I've seen this elsewhere in his name, why was it right now that the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva died? This time, why wasn't it in Tishrei? Tishrei is an important time of the year. Why wasn't it in Adar? Why now? This time is Mesugal. It's a very holy, precious, special time. We are building up each and every day during Sfiras Omer. Every day we count another day. Every day we reach another rung on the ladder, reaching HaKadosh Baruch Hu, emulating the Jewish people as they grew every single day from slaves to free people, from people who didn't know anything, who are on the 49th level of Tumah to reach the 49th level of Tahara. These days are very special, holy days with a lot of potential within them. Just like there's a lot of potential for greatness, if that's not used the right way, then lo aleinu, it could be used in a destructive manner. And that's what happened. That's why Rabbi Akiva's students, they died during this time, Dafka, during this specific time, because the Kedusha is not just whenever it's there for Kedusha, it's there for Tuma as well. That's why also we learned 2 weeks ago, 1 second, come here. What with Nadav and Avihu, they died.
don't know.
Nadav and Yehuda died. It was, should have been the holiest day of the year. It should have been the day, Aleph Nisan, where they celebrated the inauguration of the Mishkan, and they failed miserably. Why? Because it's the same idea. Whenever there's a great level for Kedusha, the Tuma, Zeh Lumat Zeh, is also there at the same time. Okay, that concludes Bye-bye. Today. Just one second, we'll review and then I'll take the question. We discussed today, Me'eis Adas Ben Yisrael. We get our power and strength from the being together for the Klal Yisrael and the Jewish people all together. Our davening should be removing all of the outer external distractions and focus on the Kodesh Kodashim inside of each and every one of us. The third idea comes from V'chai Behem. Know what we're doing. We're saving lives by being inside. Not just saving our lives, but saving other people. How important a principle that is within the Torah itself. Rav Chaim HaKadosh, the importance of patience. And fifth, Rav Yaakov, about the potential. And every time there's greatness for potential, there's greatness for potential for disaster as well. I wish everybody a good Shabbos. Everyone should be safe. We should be healthy. I look forward. Milty, I think you have a question, but I look forward tonight, 8:30 p.m. Same place here, 8:30. We'll have Thursday Night Live. The Drusha will be live. We'll talk about some good...
Rabbi.
Yes.
Not only do you have Rabbi Akiva's students, but this period of time is also the Crusades, to the point that past Shabbos, we say Avarachman also.
Yes. Right, to also, reflect that notion, yeah. Great point. Thank you.
Can I just say just a couple words for one moment?
Sure.
First, I want to thank you for the shiur that I truly enjoyed in my father's honor. And it's my pleasure to meet you for the first time. Unfortunately, it's on Zoom. But again, I really enjoyed it. I'd like to just mention with some thoughts in mind of what you talked about with Koach HaTzibur and my father's memory. If I could just mention that he really did get his strength from his community and from his family. And as it relates to the times that we're going through right now, he always was able to see a situation, not for what was missing, but for what was there for it to be appreciated. Because that really tells a large part of the story of his life. Very humble. He was, his life, his career even, working for the Army as a PhD chemist. He lived a life of appreciation. And actually that relates to his name, Chaim. And like I said, to the right. times that we're in right now, and taking advantage of Zoom, to learn and to do so many things, getting together, giving each other strength. Of course, I just have to, I had to mention that. And as a last note, I have my father's yahrzeit candle in front of me. And as part of his memory, I say l'chaim to my father's life that he lived, that what I just mentioned was some of his greatest lessons to me, for sure. So thank you again for your share, and I want to thank everybody for being for being.
Gigi, are you on?
Thank you.
Gigi? Graham, is Gigi still on?
I don't know, but you know, I want to say one more thing.
No, but she's muted. But she's muted. Now she's on mute now.
I just want to make sure everybody here has masks and gloves for when you go out. I know I've been a little bit of a supplier, but if anybody does need those supplies, I still have some to offer. So in my father's memory and thinking of how he cared about his community, and you were his community, a big part of it. If anybody has a need for those items, maybe you can contact, I don't know, Rabbi, do you have an idea? You want to let me know, and I don't know, I can drop something off.
Graham, you got some Carol in Florida.
Carol, Oh, hi. Actually, you may have seen the email from my practice. We had a giveaway, a drive-by by my office.
I'm trying to get Gigi.
And I used one of those long arms to give out those bags.
Bram?
Anyways, everyone stay safe. And if there is a need, yes, let me know.
Bram?
Yes.
Do you know Gigi's friend, Saraleya Bereshansky?
Of course.
Okay, I'm her father. Here. Send Gigi regards for me and my wife. I'm trying. I don't know if she's still on.
I
didn't realize this. Your father's your site. Neshama should have an Aliyah. He was a beautiful man.
I know this is very unusual, but what I see is scandal.
Okay.
I do say l'chaim.
So. Yeah, Shikoff, everybody. Have a great day.
Grandma,
thank you so much for sharing.
Well, it's your